You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
It's the Cooligans, Women's World Cup daily.
That's right, yes. And also, our voices might sound a little bit like we just been through the ringer.
Okay? Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, but we both sound like movie villains.
Right? This is our voiceover audition for the Cooligans 100%. Women's Woke Up Daily podcast. All right?
This is when I walk around the house pretending to be the guy from like every detective movie, where my wife will be like, could you please stop talking about like that? And I'll be like, the dame wants me to stop talking. You have no idea how much it annoys her and how happy it makes me.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
My name is Christian Polanco.
Come on, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We out here. We're excited. This is the beginning of Women's World Cup Daily. We're going to be doing daily episodes. And yes, the reason our voices are a little hoarse is because
excitement of the Women's World Cup.
That too, but we've been putting in a solid shift.
Oh my God.
This week.
We punched in. We forgot to punch out.
In D.C., we were there for the MLS All-Star Game.
Yes, sir.
MLS Skills Challenge. We were playing in the Body Armor Creators Cup.
You were playing. I was using my voice, which is why it's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
If your muscles feel anything like my voice, I feel sorry for it.
Okay. But yeah, that's where we are. We put in a lot of work this week, so our voices will heal throughout this tournament.
Oh my God, just a lot of thank you. Oh my God, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm. We're very grateful.
Just doing a lot of that.
Shout out to everybody who came up to us.
And it's insane.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
Insane.
Really, fans of the show, fans of the Levitard show and the Levitard family, the Metalark family.
Yes.
So many people were so congratulatory and it was really, really dope. So shout out to everybody who walked up to us, said hello, took a photo, felt like real.
Snuck a photo, some of them. Okay. Like that. I'm like, bro, let me have peace of mind in this bathroom, bro.
I can't use a urinal and piece the paparazzi are crazy. Yeah.
Okay, it's not a urinal. This is a concession stand. Fine, we all make mistakes. Why the cameras is what I'm saying.
No, it was great. We had
change the oil now, I suggest.
Producer Miguelito even came out with us. He was hanging out.
Yeah, first time MLS All-Star. Really cool experience.
Yeah. Dude, you had a very different experience than most people's MLS All-Stars because you were in the thick of it.
Yo,
you
I was capturing some content, bro.
Yes.
That's the hustle, bro.
You were watching us shake hands and kiss baby. People were like, get away from my baby, bro.
Okay. People were like, Alexis, so why are you kissing my baby?
Hey, yo, stop. Bro, every time you walk on, I say, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm just trying to show Miguelito how to network.
Okay.
Let me kiss your baby, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, there's better people to learn from, but what are you going to do?
Hey, listen, there's education in everything.
But no, it is the beginning of the Women's World Cup. The next 30 days are going to be intense, going through a lot of these matches. We've already experienced the opening matches. The host nations already won their games.
Bro, they're home.
They're home.
You know what I mean? The whole nation is behind them.
Dude, I mean, the emotion and energy was clearly there. Look, I did not expect Australia and New Zealand to both win.
Say what you mean. You expected Australia to win, but not New Zealand.
No, I'm just saying it is. I said what I said. Okay, don't mix words. It was a nice surprise, and we'll talk about and recap those matches. But we got to start today and just give a nice little preview of the U.S. Women's National Team match against Vietnam, which is happening tomorrow.
And no disrespect to other nations, Australia, New Zealand, congratulations on your first one. But when we're talking about the Women's World Cup, we're talking about the U.S. Women's National Team and their friends. Okay? That's how it's okay. Okay. Oh, look, France. Oh, you're on the list because you know the Women's World Cup.
I'm wearing
Winners USA.
I'm wearing a crystal done cap. Okay. Yep. And a penny that says States right on it. Okay.
Facts.
So I mean,
facts. And I'm wearing a shirt that says Carhartt, Made in America. Damn, you feel me?
Okay. All right. It's look. You know where we stand. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So
on our 10 toes, repping the red, white, and blue, the stars and stripes.
So the U.S. Will be playing against Vietnam 9 p.m. Eastern time on Friday.
Yep.
Obviously, yes. July 21st,
and that will begin our march to try to do a three-peat of World Cups.
And, you know, and we saw. Look, we don't really mention Alexi Lalas's name too much.
For some reason doesn't come up.
Usually, not with anything positive.
That's the problem
that he said on television. But
we will continue to say we've met this man. We think he can be lovely. Okay?
He's a very kind person.
He's so good to us.
His Twitter account,
you know, if maybe it's we've never met him in front of a microphone, because it just feels like that's the moment where he decides to kind of get a little wild with it.
Gets a little crazy, know? But no.
He's also ultra patriotic.
Yes,
take that for
do with that what you will. Anyway,
you decide where to go next. It's a choose your own adventure here.
Okay, but no, Alexi said this after the matches from Australia, the Australia and New Zealand matches. He said if the U.S. Women's National Team was watching these games, they will have seen four teams that should not even pose a problem in terms of them winning another World Cup, let alone giving them a game.
Now, if we can parse some moral from this, it's right. That, man, the U.S. women should be good enough to beat even some of the four teams we've seen already.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a negative. That's a positive.
Right.
It's how, and I've learned this from my wife, it's how the message is delivered. Okay?
Okay.
You know?
I mean, look, if you've listened to this show for years, the growth that you just, and the maturity has been very, very minimal.
Yes.
But that's a good sign.
We're working towards it, okay? I now remember what I've been told. I just need to put it into action.
Right.
So it's not the message. The message is overall a positive. If you can take some positive, it's how it's delivered. It's disparaging other countries.
Without a doubt.
It's not the way encourage.
It's a little bit of like, I've seen what I needed to see. Mm-hmm. You know what Justin Bieber said? I seen what I needed to see, and he's like, enough, right?
Yeah.
And that's probably not where we need to be right now.
No.
First game, we've only seen four nations play, right? New Zealand,
there's a lot,
Norway, Australia, and Ireland. Those are the only ones we've seen. There's a couple more that might be a bit, maybe the quality might be little bit
in
better.
In fact, the teams we haven't seen are the overwhelming majority of teams in this competition. So,
my man, right out of the gate.
Yeah, I'm good now. Okay. I don't need to read the rest of the book. I got the vibe from the first two pages.
Honey, we're betting the house. U.S. is winning the whole thing.
When I said I did research on these NFTs, I didn't mean like really dig deep, but I saw some headlines.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we should buy.
So, I'll say in regards to that comment, the thing I did see already is the lack in attacking quality. We only saw two goals in these matches.
Well, let's also say that one of these teams happens to have probably the premier attacker, or at least top three attacker, and she was injured in Sam Kerr for Australia.
Yeah.
So yeah, you would have maybe seen a higher level of attack. Nonetheless, Australia still won off of a penalty, but they still won.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, right? A lot of great emotions. The country, you know, must be very happy. That said, yeah, I mean, if Sam Kerr's playing in this game, I think you see a much higher level of attack.
Right, right, right. So I think the so that assessment is probably, I don't think, we're a little too presumptive and a little too early for that kind of assessment.
If I was, you know, standing there at a comedy club while you were about to perform with six other comics, and I saw the first two comics go up, and then I walked up to you, and I'm like, by the way, everyone else here is ass. You're going to do just fine. That's not really giving you a vote of confidence.
Right, right, right. It's just that the bar is so low. Yeah.
Yeah, but if I said to you, I'm like, by the way, you should be the best comedian here, bro. You're that good. Now, all of a sudden, this is a positive.
Okay, you know? Yeah, this is positive reinforcement.
Yes.
Encouragement. Okay, yeah. That's the way to do it.
But if I said all you got to do is go up there, even if you just farted in the microphone, you're better than what these guys are doing. You see how that can be misconstrued?
Gotcha. Yeah. So,
lesson over, everybody.
Alexi thinks the first four teams were just farting in microphones.
Yeah. And again, Alexi, not Alexis. Not Alexis.
Let's get that right.
This is now I need to start differentiating myself.
The U.S. is playing against Vietnam, and obviously the very, very heavy favorite. So in general, most people, you know, if some people go check out our earlier podcast with the underdogs, we did a betting special for the Women's World Cup. And so everybody's essentially, there's not too much to preview other than how much are they going to win by.
Right.
And it
should, if I remember correctly, I think Vietnam was like a minus 15,000. You have to bet $15,000 in order to win $100.
Yeah, I mean,
that's how improbable it is.
Good return, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a return.
So we decided to just give a little preview of just like what this team looks like for any new folks that might be new to soccer, new to the Women's World Cup, and just to focus on a couple players. I mean, the roster for the U.S. Women's National Team, a lot of new players that we didn't see in 2019.
Some names you've heard of, but then there's a lot that, unless you're following NWSL or, you know, maybe Olympic Lyon, well, you probably heard of Lindsay Horan, who's now the captain, but
right, the co-captain along with Alex co-captain, Morgan,
exactly. But if you're not following NWSL, maybe you haven't heard of some of these new players.
Right. But then, so the one thing I wanted to have some fun with is just guess or decide what, you know, what players do we think might surprise us, or at least three different category. So who do we think is going to be the best player, you know, in the tournament, but it's probably going to be somebody in the U.S. Women's National Team.
Okay, well, I will ask you first, Christian, who will be the best player for the Women's National Team?
Okay, Alexa, did you hit the wrong button, or you hit two of the right buttons?
No, I wanted the Eagles, right? And then
best player in the tournament, I think, is going to be Sophia Smith. I think that's pretty much a lock. She's, you know, we saw her at the NWSL final last year. As you know, she makes the game look easy, and she makes the competition that she plays against just look unprepared to keep up with her. She is just so technically gifted, athletically gifted. She's you know, great with both feet. And she embarrasses a lot of not only defenders, but also goalkeepers. You know, she puts them on their ass. She does, you know, like whether it's a fake shot or whatever. So I think she's as long as she gets plenty of service, which she has incredible midfielders to help her do that, I think she easily is going to be the best player in the tournament.
Very cool. Remember we said we wouldn't go long on these?
No, I'm just, you know, hammering the point in.
Yeah. You got it. I think Sophia Smith is incredible. My best player of the tournament, Trinity Rodman.
Interesting.
Now, she may make another appearance in one of the other categories, but I think Sophia Smith, while absolutely incredible, certainly going to have a lot of space because Alex Morgan is probably going to deter some of the defenders.
Yeah.
I think that's also going to benefit Trinity Rodman when she comes in. And she does everything with a swagginess that we don't often see in the U.S. Women's National Team. There is a level of confidence. There's a level of sauce that this player has. You know, I think she's going to be the player we're all talking about.
You know, this is what I love about this team, and especially Trinity Rodman, because I think I had seen a interview with Alex Morgan, and somebody had asked her about like the new players, and she's like, you know, some of the players are like almost 20 years younger than some of the more, you know, the veteran players, and they're like, the conversations are very different than the ones I'm having with my peers in my 30s,
right,
to the 19 year olds you know, talking, like whether it's like a playlist or whatever, like they listen to wildly different music. You know, they're like, oh, I never heard of Biggie or something. You know what I mean? That happens from time to time.
Alex Morgan just trying to listen to Biggie the entire time is hilarious. Guys, it was all a dream, right?
But I love that Trinity Rodman has found the balance because she's such a good player. She's fairly like goofy on TikTok, doing dances.
She was in a Coyle Ray video.
Right. But she's also like hops on TikTok trends, and she learns the choreography for certain dances on TikTok. And because she's so good, nobody's like, yo, she's not focused on the game. It's just like, no, she's grittying on TikTok and also, you know, getting braces on in matches.
They're like, finally, at least 60 seconds where she's not scoring on an opposing goalkeeper.
Thank you for mixing it up, Trinity.
Thank you, Gritty, for saving Vietnam.
I feel like you're so focused on soccer that I'm glad you're, you know, diversifying.
Yeah, you need hobbies, Trinity. Damn.
Stop just crushing it on the field all the time. So it's great to see. Yeah, the only rebuttal I'll have is that I don't think Trinity Rodman is starting many games.
I disagree.
I would be fascinated if she starts.
I'm with Alexis. I think she's like not going to start in the beginning, but slowly throughout the tournament, she's going to take one of the spots.
Spot. Well, I also think Vlatko's going to be like, okay, yeah, Alyssa Thompson, dope. But we got to find a way to get Morgan, Sophia Smith, and Trinity Rodman on the pitch at the same damn time.
Okay.
And I would, there's no one that could stop that trio.
Yeah.
You see what I did there, Alexi? It's not that hard.
Damn, bro.
See how that goes?
It's not like you sent him like a voice note directly right to him.
All right, let's talk about biggest surprise.
Okay, this is fun. Who's going to surprise us on the U.S. Women's National Team? I'm going to go with a surprise I think will be... I mean, I don't even know how much of a surprise it is per se, but I think it's going to be Lynn Williams. I think we're going to get... more goals.
That's a great take.
Than we sort of expect. Lynn Williams, probably.
How many balls do they play with in the Women's World Cup? Because we are talking about Alex Morgan, Trinity Rodman, Sophia Smith, and Lynn Williams.
I think Lynn Williams is probably not starting any game, is my guess. But when
unless
she comes
just a
in,
major injury or something.
Yeah, yeah. When she comes in, I think she's going to get... a couple goals.
She's an impact sub.
Super sub role.
Yeah,
for her.
I could see her leaving this tournament with like maybe 4 or 5 goals.
Wow. Nice.
So that's what I think is going to be my biggest surprise.
Okay. My biggest surprise of the women's national team. Ashley Sanchez.
Ashley Sanchez. This is a good one.
This is why. Okay. Not only do I preach. Okay, I am a member of the church.
Minister Alexis.
Okay, now let me tell you, okay, we need more than 10% of your money. I want to start with Ashley Sanchez as who I think is my biggest surprise, because she will take the opportunity, the rare opportunity of Rose Lavelle not being able to start or play as often. I don't know where her health will be when the first few women's national team games. It's possible she misses the entire group stage. And I think in that time, Ashley Sanchez will prove to be such a good midfielder that it may be like, yo, Rose, why don't you just wait it out one more match? And it just keeps going.
Okay.
I don't think that will completely sway the other way. I think Ashley Sanchez has the goods, and she's used to connecting with Trinity Rodman. Past season, they had 14 goal connections. So I think it's going to be a breakout for her.
Okay. I agree. I think it's the same issue of, like, how many minutes is she going to get? But I think the advantage here is that there are three Washington Spirit players on the U.S. Women's National Team. Andy Sullivan, Ashley Sanchez, and Trinity Rodman. So for Vlatko, it's just like, yo, if you get them all on the pitch at the same time,
right,
probably a good sign of just some chemistry and stuff like that.
Like, so if you're playing FIFA Ultimate Team.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta,
they would all be green.
Green lines. Links. Green yeah. links.
You got to put them all together, okay? They know each other. They're probably roommates or whatever. It's, right. So let's move on to the final category. Who's going to be the most influential newcomer?
I'm very interested to hear this from you guys, because honestly, like, I'm a U.S. Women's National Team fan, but these are a lot of new names, like, even for me, you know? So I'm very curious to see what you guys have to say here.
Okay, so I think this is probably the toughest one, but I'm going to go...
Well, let's just say the most influential newcomer. So has not started in another World Cup previously.
Yeah.
And will have the most influence, meaning has helped the U.S. win.
Yes.
Interesting.
So I'm going to say, I'm not going to go with an attacker here, because I think the defending is going to be very, very important. One of the newer defenders, first time, first World Cup, of San Diego Wave, Naomi Girma.
Okay, I was literally just double checking because I know she's been in other competitions. Yeah, yeah. She was Rookie of the Year last year. I just want to make sure. But yes, that is also the same name that I was going to pick. Naomi Girma.
Look at that. Yeah, I think she's going to be really, really important given that they aren't. Look, there. I mean, there's what, only five defenders that,
also,
that were brought.
She better be because there's only two center backs, bro.
Look, in general, and most of the World Cup group stages, we're blocking Alana Cook there on screen if you're watching this. But we've seen plenty of World Cups, especially in the group stages. A lot of the other teams ain't getting the ball. You know, I remember in the last World Cup, Becky Sauerbrunn was just chilling out there, okay? Hanging out, just really looking. Hey, give me the ball. I'll just connect it back to you guys from time to time.
You mind just passing me the ball? I just want to make sure my legs were numb before because I was just standing here. I just want to make sure I don't have pins
felt
and needles.
Like, yeah, it just felt like I sat on the toilet too long. Yo, you know what I mean?
You got to shift. You get hemorrhoids, folks. Okay. You get hemorrhoids.
So, a hemorrhoid's American now, bro. Oh, I totally
bro,
missed
is
this,
there anything
dude.
More American than a hemorrhoid, dude?
You know, I guess you're right, man.
Somebody in Gully Squad was like, in the last episode, mentioned, like, I thinking, you know, essentially saying, like, it's a little too much eagle. Yeah, we went, we over eagled.
I'm really sorry about that.
Okay, so I think Naomi Girma is going to be I don't think Vietnam is going to score, and I think Naomi Girma is going to be a big reason for that. But she's going to be a very, very important player, and as for being a newcomer, I think a lot is going to be asked of her to really just like neutralize any real threat. I mean, she's been doing very, very well in San Diego. But I think given that the other team is not really going to get the ball that much, she is going to be very, very focused on marking who she needs to mark, doing what she needs to do, and just like being like, you know, lock down the best player. So now I think she's going to easily be the most influential.
Very nice. But I do want to know, we got one more topic, and that is who will be the star? We named a bunch of players that are going to have great tournaments, we think. But who will be the standout star? Who will be the name that's on the top of everyone's list that's getting the most clout, getting the most clicks, everyone's chatting about?
I mean,
who do you think that is?
It's interesting because I think it's probably just going to go to Rapinoe.
It's 100% going to be Megan Rapinoe.
It's her last one. I mean, it's not as like exciting per se because we've seen her and she's obviously won World Cups before. But... yeah, it's going to be an emotional journey. And this is, we all know how it all, I mean, let's not be crazy. We know how it works, right? The marketing campaign.
The buddy.
The tears.
This basically came from a madman.
So look, props to Megan, props to Nike. We saw the ads, okay?
We're not stupid. see what you're doing.
This is how, okay,
we agree with it, baby. Marketing.
We're on board, okay? Let me, you know, we want to.
We got a conference table as our thing here.
Okay, bro, you want us to like help you publish the book?
You want me to change this screen to a deck that we built right now, dude?
So this is the perfect timing. And the way to end the movie, I know there's a writer strike and actor strike, but we'll work on it once that's sorted out. But once the ending of the movie, we know has to be with Megan Rapinoe lifting the World Cup trophy for the third time.
Bro, just hear me out.
I'm listening.
Confetti bursts. The U.S. women's national team, through that falling confetti, lifts the World Cup trophy for the third time in a row. They're jumping, they're singing, they're dancing. A camera walks right up to Megan Rapinoe and says, "You just won the World Cup. What are you going to do now?" As she looks at that camera and says, "Fine, I'll go to the White House." Perfect.
That's, oh my God. And then credits roll there, bro.
Credit fiend. F-I-N, credits roll.
Okay. Look, we've written the treatment.
Bro, we know how the movie ends, basically. We're Siskel and Ebert over here.
You're welcome, Megan.
God, I agree. You know what? I had a different name, but nah. You're right.
It's Megan. I mean, look, it's now on the way during the Men's World Cup when Argentina was playing, when all the players were basically like, you know, everybody asked him, like, oh, how badly do you want to win this World Cup for Argentina? They're like, I don't want to win it for Argentina. I want to win it for Messi. That is how, that's the responsibility on the other 22 players on this roster. Should, I mean, it's probably a little bit different than
because they've just won two in a row.
But you know what I mean? That is kind of like for the story to work.
Yeah.
The other players that'll be like, yo, we need to, like, you know, praise this hero and work hard for her so that she gets her third World Cup.
That's going to be crazy.
Okay.
I like that list.
I like that. Okay.
I think it's a good list too. Yeah.
I think it's a good list. All right.
We'll only go back to it if we're right. If we're wrong, we're never talking about it again. This episode never happened.
We'll wipe this off the plate.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. But I should have mentioned this up top, but I don't know how to do a show that I've been doing for 8 years.
We've never done podcasts.
This is our first one, so it's very exciting.
If you're listening for the first time, but Rosie this is White, also our first time.
Rosie White, former New Zealand international, is on the show today. I will be talking to her in just a moment. We did speak to her before the New Zealand match, so I just want to give you guys a heads up, but it's a nice look at what the expectations are for New Zealand at this World Cup. Rosie White, who we met before, she did our live show along
with on stage with us,
alongside Total Soccer Show in Chicago. So if you were at that show in Chicago in 2018, Rosie White was there because she was part of the Chicago Red Stars.
Yeah, and she did our show to talk a little bit about ulcerative colitis, which she has and suffers from, and she talks about the experience and wants to make it a little less taboo to talk about it, which I love.
Exactly, okay? So, you know, you talk to two comedians, really bring light on this very serious condition.
Hey, listen, you'll hear it. I tell her, hey, we talk about poop on the show all the time.
Okay? It happens, but it's...
But you're in a safe space.
Okay? So...
Welcome home.
So be on the lookout for that. We're gonna be,
Not be on the lookout. We're gonna... You're gonna hear it.
Yeah. Oh, just in a couple
in
minutes.
In this episode, yes.
We are going to... We have to mention, obviously, the two matches. Obviously, Australia played against... Ireland
and New Zealand played Norway.
New Zealand played Norway. So
the two home host countries.
Yeah. So we start real quick. New Zealand, Norway. Obviously, New Zealand won 1-0 for a great goal from Hannah Wilkinson. The pass to break the lines, which I think I forgot who it came from. It might have been Percival or Steinmetz. I don't remember. But then. What's her name? Jacqueline Hand got the assist on a cross, and Hannah Wilkinson buried the goal. A great goal,
incredible assist, incredible goal.
They also Percival also missed a penalty.
Yes.
So it was obviously could have been a better result, but a huge result for New Zealand. Definitely a little bit shocking. Norway is usually, fairly not. I wouldn't say dominant.
We were all pretty confident that Norway would be one of the better teams in the competition. Yes. So to see them go down, again, it's against the host country, and we've talked about this before. We were talking a little bit about, I can't remember which group we were talking about, and I'll find it in a second. I believe it was the one that New Zealand is in. Philippines, Switzerland, Norway. New Zealand is home. Everyone thinks the Philippines are going to be the worst in that group, but they're the only other group that's close to home.
Okay.
They're the only other club that's close to home in that group, the nation that's close to home in that group. So Switzerland and Norway, hey, you travel to a completely different climate, completely different country. You're far away from home, time zone.
Japan's also pretty close.
Right?
Oh, you've been talking about specifically group A. Right.
I'm like, where's it getting in Japan? So it's at least something to consider, right? Travel is very difficult for players in like MLS. It's the, you know, going to Australia regardless of where you're going.
Yeah.
Or New Zealand. It's not easy.
I go to Australia every week. Yeah.
It's very difficult just to go to Australia regardless of where you are. So it could be part of the reason why you saw a slow start for Norway.
Okay, yeah, I can see that too. But look, they have one of the greatest players in women's soccer in Ada Hegerberg.
Yeah,
and
Ballon d'Or winner.
I believe the first female Ballon d'Or winner, if I remember correctly.
I believe so. Yeah, I am. Yes, and that was a whole other thing because there was
a whole thing. Don't need to reminisce.
Right episode.
But no, a lot of missed.
Well, actually, let's go to Alexi Lalas for his thoughts. No, we're not gonna. We cut. We lost the okay. Never mind.
I lost the feed. Sorry,
yeah.
I think a lot of missed chances for Norway. They had the ball in great spots and just headers that went wide, balls that went over the bar, So unfortunate, but look, a huge. My favorite thing after, there were two things that were my favorite in this game. It's we were talking, and you'll hear it with our conversation with Rosie White. We're huge fans of Allie Riley, who plays for Angel City, but she was raised in California, but her mom is from New Zealand, and this photo is just absolutely beautiful of her hugging her mom. If you're listening to this, it's you look up the photo. But and apologies because I don't know who originally took the photo. I just got it from a Twitter account. But it is, I mean, it's just very like emotional and powerful. And they're like forehead to forehead, and mom is like crying and smiling and happy. It's pretty remarkable. So you can see to both. Countries, how much it meant to both of the host nations. But that also, my second favorite thing was now we got to see the referee after a VAR call give the announcement in the stadium. So now they're mic'd up.
This is exactly what soccer's missing.
Entertainment, bro.
Wow. And also, she added a little bit of flair to it.
I love it, too. Yeah.
This is what we need.
Okay? Because if you didn't get to see the game, there was a handball call. There was a penalty that was missed. VAR told the ref, yo, you need to take a look at this. So now what happens? The referee goes to the monitor.
A lot of tension is being built.
Yes, and as always, we usually don't hear anything. The ref just points to the spot.
Whistles, and then gives a hand motion that signifies whether it's a penalty or not or what happened.
But this time around, the ref...
like an NFL ref.
Yes. So
stood there and spoke to the crowd.
Uh-huh, and we hear it and said...
After further review or something of that nature?
Yeah, there was a handball in the box. And she pointed, said, penalty.
She goes, and it is a penalty. And the crowd was like, yeah.
This is what we needed. Refs with more pizzazz.
Yes. This was great because it felt like who's the guy in Hunger Games? Like the main guy that goes, you know.
I know who you're talking about.
Let the Hunger Games begin. And I'm like, yeah, let's go. I just like.
It does get you hyped.
You hear penalty. All of a sudden you want blood. You're like, yeah.
Feed her to the lions. Like, no.
Different sport.
No. What were you watching just before this?
It's exactly, I add a layer of tension to the game, and I hope this is something we implement.
Nah, the Premier League, MLS, everyone needs to start doing this ASAP.
Yeah. Just like everybody's like, dab,
yeah. Penalty. Oh my God, imagine that. Like, after further review, it's a penalty.
Damn, yo, this ref getting crunk.
Yeah, the ref is like, after further review, the call on the pitch. It's there! Oh my God! We didn't know which way he was going.
Did the video editors of the Kardashians edit this? How'd they do this? Yeah. It's a reality show.
Give the ref a little stream deck so it could be like, it's a penalty.
That's what we need, bro. That was so cool. I really love it. I mean, we've seen this in the A-League. It's like where a mic'd up ref.
Not as much... Already day one in the Women's World Cup, there's a sensationalism.
Bro, this is great. This is theater.
The A-League, they're like, it's a penalty.
No. This is well done. So it was great to see. And then obviously Australia won on a penalty. They
fouled. Huge. Samantha Kerr pulled up. I think she had a knock. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I mean, I have the Instagram post. So this is obviously very unfortunate.
By the way, I looked it up. That was New Zealand's first ever win in the Women's World Cup.
Okay, so amazing. Huge.
Huge for the nation. But yes, over to Australia. It looks like it's not going to be major. Looks like she will continue to be a part of Australia.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too like a panic. Maybe just something. Maybe they're being like
a calf injury.
Cautious. Yeah, but it's a calf injury. And she just said, unfortunately, I sustained the calf injury yesterday in training. I wanted to share this with everyone so there's no distraction from us doing what we came here to achieve. Of course, I would have loved to have been out there tonight, but I can't wait to be a part of this amazing journey, which starts now.
I can see the comments, and my eyes are drawn to one in particular.
Don't forget the first one.
It is Christy Mewis, currently on the U.S. Women's National Team. And she just put ILY with a red heart, which obviously means I love you.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I think that's super sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But can I just say something? For the next 30 days, y'all not in a relationship.
Okay? You know what I mean? Y'all need to break up right now.
For now, it's complicated, okay? Only because I need you focused, all right? You can't be hoping for a speedy recovery.
Nah.
Sure, as long as that speedy is after we have to play you.
So I'm sure there's like, you know, I'm sure that there's a lot of conversations and they're still texting back and forth, but
100%
can't be as.
You could say it in the text.
Yeah.
But in public, I need you to be like, yo, sucks to be you, huh?
Damn. Bummer.
Yeah. Maybe it was that box of bees I got delivered to you.
So hopefully she's doing all right. I mean, look, a World Cup without Sam Kerr, it just doesn't feel right.
It's not fun.
Hopefully she gets better. But
especially a World Cup in Australia without Sam Kerr.
Nah, dude.
Ew.
Can't have that. Hopefully she's at that.
That's like going to McDonald's and not getting fries, dude. Something's missing.
Damn, bro. Okay.
I'm sorry that I just read poetry.
My bad, everyone. We got to always relate it to food. We got to make this sport relatable, and some people don't get it.
Everybody eats, everybody poops. It's the two things I talk about.
And now we talk to Rosie White. Yeah.
What a segue.
Very absolutely perfect.
But wait till you hear the episode.
Before we get there, I got to give a shout out to our sponsor, who's always keeping us chill, making us look good and feel good. Shout out to Coors Light, okay?
Bro.
Because and also we're in. It's the Women's World Cup, but the League's Cup is also happening as well.
It's a lot of cups, but League's Cup is absolutely incredible. This is a massive competition.
Mm-hmm.
MLS teams, Liga MX teams competing in a knockout tournament. This is going to be amazing, and I honestly can't wait to watch it. When I watch it, I want to chill. When I want to chill, the only thing I do is I grab a cold Coors Light, because the little blue mountain, it tells you when it's blue. It says, hey, I'm chilled and ready to go.
Exactly.
Like when my wife texts me and says, hey, I'll be ready in 5, I respond, hey, I'm chilled and ready to go.
Damn, bro.
In fact, I'm going to just send a little blue mountain.
The blue mountain signal that you are ready to go.
Yeah, okay. And I've been ready to go for 35 minutes.
Okay. So look, League's Cup is happening. It's starting today. And obviously, Lionel Messi is going to be playing. Look, you've seen the fanfare. You've seen the media. It went from Inter Miami having one reporter covering training to 200. Bro, it is crazy. So it's going to be a wild tournament. So make sure you tune in and grab an Ice Cold Coors Light while you're at it. This summer, stay passionate and stay refreshed with an Ice Cold Coors Light, official beer of League's Cup 2023. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Huh? Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Okay, you just landed that quite nicely, Alexis.
Huh?
All right, let's get to our conversation with Rosie White. She played for she played in NWSL, a former New Zealand international.
She's probably going crazy right now.
So I'm sure she's very, very happy right now. So let's hear what she has to say. Let's go.
What an honor. Wow.
To get the chance to reconnect with with a player who we did, one of the first times we ever did a live tour. We did an 8-city tour, the World Cup comedy tour in 2018. And this next guest was previously a guest in the live show that we had. We did a show. Shared a stage. You don't see too many players, too many soccer players at comedy clubs. And not only, I guess she's trying to take our jobs. That's why.
Right.
That's what's
happening. This is really why we brought her back on the show, to find out how far she's gotten from taking our job. But who we're talking about is absolutely incredible. Previously was playing at Chicago when she shared the stage with us. Now at OL Reign. Oh, the absolute incredible Rosie White, everybody.
Rosie, what's up?
What's up? Thank you so much for having me. Don't worry, I'm not chasing your job.
Okay.
And also, you'd catch us and go past us. You're faster than both of us.
Yeah,
go
I don't want to embarrass you guys.
So, Rosie, I know I want to start off by giving you the floor and talk about what you have going on. I know Alexis just mentioned OL Reign, but are you currently an all-around player. You're I believe, what's the status?
I am not an all-around player currently. I retired last year, so I'm a retired player.
Okay.
Wow.
They need to update your Wikipedia because it does not say retired.
Yeah, nowhere does it say retired.
Cut the interview. It's not interesting anymore.
Yeah.
So I assume what you're going to be talking to us about was, I assume, a factor in your retirement. Is that correct?
It is, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I've been doing some work with Bristol Myers Squibb as a patient ambassador. I have ulcerative colitis, which is an inflammatory bowel disease, which I've had for a long time. I was diagnosed when I was like 19. But it definitely was a big factor in part of my decision to step away from the game. But the work that I've been doing has just been raising awareness around the disease itself, and encouraging other patients to start speaking about their symptoms and be a little bit more open about it, to try and find treatment options that work for them, basically.
Yeah, we've had in the past, we've had a conversation with another player that does experience ulcerative colitis, Yael Averbush West. And she's a good friend, and we did the show with her in maybe like 2018 or 2019. And she was very candid and very honest. And I think, it's, at least for me, it was a condition, I don't know too much about. But I appreciated the vulnerability and then also the honesty. She was joking about it. Like, I think that's kind of that's helpful as well, because sometimes people can be a little bit just embarrassed about it.
Yeah, I think that's super helpful. She was actually someone that I have been leaned into a lot throughout my journey. She's super open about it, and I think using humor is like a helpful way to deal with it, because it's embarrassing, and like nobody wants to talk about their poop, and like it's especially in a team environment. I think that's one way that like I have like managed to get through, is just like joking about it with my teammates. And not that they know it's serious, but like they also make fun of me.
Rosie, you're on the right.
You're in a safe space here.
You're on the right show. Yeah. Okay.
We've been told we talk about our poop too much, and by our I mean
I have been told that too. Funnily enough.
there's a family member of mine who deals with also ulcerative colitis. They've had surgery in the past, not too long ago. Also, one of our friends, Joey Dardano, who has IBS, which sometimes is linked or they're associated with each other. He's famous on TikTok for hot boy shit, which is a thing. He's doing the same thing you're doing, which is trying to make it a bit more of an open topic and talking about it. So he makes a lot of jokes. He tries to use humor. He's a comedian as well. So it helps sort of alleviate the stress that some people feel involved in dealing with the subject.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think alongside having all of this stuff happening in your physical body, it's like a big emotional drain. So I think like the more open and honest you can be about it and sort of remove the barrier of like stigma or embarrassment is just helpful. And honestly, like when the first like 5 years I had ulcerative colitis, I didn't really tell anyone. I told like two people, and I was not that I was like ashamed, but I think I was just, I had it on the back burner. Like it wasn't something I really understood myself. And it wasn't affecting me to this huge degree at that time. But I think kind of the worse it got, the more I had to start taking it seriously and like figure out ways, better ways to deal with it.
No, I mean, yeah. I think it's great to obviously, it's disappointing to have to end your career probably much sooner than you would have wanted. But I think this is a great use of your platform and your time. So I'm sure a lot of people are very grateful for your sincerity.
I appreciate it.
Well, I do want to talk about, obviously, you are a New Zealand international, the Women's World Cup. As we're recording this before New Zealand's first match. Just the fact that the World Cup is in Australia and New Zealand, I'm sure as a athlete, it hurts a little bit to not be able to be there. But as a fan now and watching this team, how much are you excited? How far do you think they can go?
Yeah, I'm super excited. It is really interesting to be on the other side of it, especially now that the hype is real and there's a lot going on social media. But I'm actually going back to New Zealand on Monday, and I'm working doing some broadcasting with the New Zealand team. So awesome. I get to be involved in some capacity and at least be on the ground and experience the event. So I'm just honestly super excited to be there and get to support. I mean, they're all my teammates and friends that I grew up with, so I'm super excited to get to be there and just support them and talk trash on them on the broadcast.
I was gonna say, do you have to remain unbiased? You know everyone, you know.
Yeah, well, luckily I'm doing the New Zealand broadcast, so we can, I think, be super friendly to the New Zealand team during that. But I think it's helpful knowing them, hopefully, have a bit of the inside scoop.
Yeah. Do you have any insight into how you think they will fare in a group with Norway, Philippines, and Switzerland?
I think it's a really favorable group. Like getting a first place seed in the group rounds is huge, and we've never had that before, obviously, because we've never been a home nation before. So I'm really excited for the opportunity. Norway will be the first game, like that'll be the toughest game up front. I think just like that home advantage has got to play a factor as well, like filling out one of the biggest stadiums in New Zealand. The New Zealand team also very rarely plays games at home, so I think that's got to have a huge effect on the girls. And I know it's just like a super exciting time for everybody to have all of their family and loved ones being able to be there in the crowd. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Right, and nice. You are clearly a very well-respected New Zealand international. You have 110 caps, I believe 24 goals for the team. Now, from the broadcasting side, is it a little bit like, you know, sometimes the you know, we saw this recently with Landon Donovan. Landon Donovan was talking about Christian Pulisic, gave his opinion. People are like, what? How the, like, you know, this man's, his name is on the MVP trophy for Major League Soccer. But then people are like, as soon as he shares an opinion that people don't agree with, they're like, that's it. Get rid of Landon. We don't need. What's the thought in as far as, it's always an interesting thing. And we talk about this a lot when it comes to women's soccer. There's sometimes a, I don't know if it's a gentleness that the broadcasters or the pundits kind of deliver when they talk about the sport. And sometimes people think like, no, we should have some of the toxicity that comes with punditry without any misogyny. Like we should be able to criticize the women in a harsh way or a very demanding way without it seeming like we hate women's soccer and stuff like that. So what's the sort of balance? How do you manage and balance all of that?
Interesting take. Yeah, I think I get what you're saying. And I think like women's football, women's soccer, like we are demanding all of these standards and like the players want to be held to this higher standard and like having the ability for commentators to be critical, I guess, is a part of that. I think there's a way that you can be critical and honest without being like clickbaity.
Okay.
And I think, I don't know, from my perspective, like from the way that I want to talk about the players is like with like the ultimate respect. And like, I have so much admiration and like respect for the work that they're putting on the field. And all these players are being so vulnerable, putting themselves out there. And like, of course, like I want honesty and like, I want to be able to say like, that was not the standard that they should sure. be upholding. But it's also not in my personality to be super controversial intentionally. So I don't know if I'll be like too hot takey, but maybe it'll just come out actually. Okay. I don't know.
Not getting how hilarious you'd be like, I know this player. This is why they suck. And we're like, Rosie, chill.
I thought you and Allie Riley were friends. You
damn,
know?
Bro.
Start talking about her family. And...
Yeah. Oh, yo, I'm telling you, the cookies were underbaked. I'm never going back to the mom's house. We're like, damn, man, this layered, this criticism. Do you feel sort of that pull during this time of wanting to be more a part of the team? Is that, or now that you're retired, you've been able to sort of put that aside and now you're looking towards this more media side now and more of this other stuff?
I mean, I think I definitely miss like the team environment, having 30 people around you to like play and hang out with on a daily basis, like is such a novelty in the real world, I'm learning. but I'm also excited about like the steps that I'm taking outside of playing, and the like I've been interested in a lot of different things and been exploring some like creative paths and been working on a startup and been doing some media stuff. And so it's been an exciting time for me personally to like grow and expand my professional experiences. And you know, I've been playing international soccer since I was 15 years old, and now I'm 30, and so I think it's for the first time in my life I like have some independence and get to make choices for myself, not right. just based off like my team. So it's been like definitely a difficult transition, but also kind of exciting and fun to be able to explore different stuff.
Oh, well, real quick, if when you were training and playing, you were exercising at a 10, what do you think you're doing now?
I'm definitely still exercising, but I think it's just the intensity shift. It actually took me a long time to like go for a run and like not be sprinting and be like, okay, if I'm tired, like I can walk for a little bit and nobody actually cares.
Yeah. So, your neighbors are like, who is this woman sprinting down the street every day at 8 a.m.?
Yeah. It's just like you're going on a walk with family and Rosie's doing a 4:40. You know? Yeah.
Like, wow. Why is she in a 3-point stance? We were just gonna go to the market.
So, Rosie, I'm curious about, you know, I want to just get to know maybe or, you know, or focus on any New Zealand player that maybe, you know, people may not be aware of. I know, look, at least for us, we focus a lot on NWSL. So the players who play in NWSL that in the World Cup, those are the ones we're most familiar with. But is there for me, that's Ali Riley. Ali Riley, to me, always, you know, it was you and Ali are the faces of the New Zealand team. But is there anybody else that that we should be paying attention to that has impressed you on this team?
I think the core of the team has been, for so long, it was like the same players that were there for 10, 15 years while I was playing. So it's been exciting to see some of the younger players like coming in and taking more of a leadership role. I think, you know, like Katie Bowen, Hannah Wilkinson, they've all had really good professional careers. CJ Bott has really stepped into being such a strong leader. She's playing internationally in Europe as well. And Olivia Chance, she was really awesome at the last World Cup. I think we got like a little bit of a taste for her flair. She's kind of a different player. She's left-footed and like has like this like confidence about her, which I am excited to see. I know she's been dealing with some injuries, but I think it'll be cool to see some of these new like younger players or players that have been around for a while but kind of have to step up into more of a leadership role now. So I'm super excited to see the girls in action. And with Ali Riley at the helm and Rhea Percival, those are two legendary players in my eyes and people. So I think pretty good foundation for the team.
Amazing.
Very nice. Outside of like the top like six that everyone talks about, obviously the U.S. people keep talking about Spain, and you know, England is getting a lot of you know, sort of attention. Germany, you know, who do you think is like a wild card, besides New Zealand, obviously, that might surprise some people in this tournament?
It's probably like a little sacrilegious of me to support Australia, but
What?
I'm not gonna lie, I kind of, there's a part of me that really hopes that they do well.
Is there any specific reason why? Is it just because Sam Kerr's like super cool or something?
I think it's because Australia feels so connected to New Zealand, and it's almost like in touch. And I think it's kind of like the standard that New Zealand football is trying to follow and like create a league and support the players and the the Federation's done a good job of like getting those international players into and like having them on contracts and really growing and developing the players in Australia. So it feels, and because it's you know, it's a shared tournament.
I like to call Australia North New Zealand. That's what I call it.
That is a hot take. I think a lot of people would disagree with you on that one.
Oh, you're from the other New Zealand? That's really cool. How is it there?
Rosie, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, obviously, we wish the best of luck for New Zealand in this tournament. And please also, you know, hopefully we get to see, you know, some of your work. I don't know how much of the media coverage will hit the United States from New Zealand, but hopefully we get to see it. And best of luck while you're out there. And yeah, this show, thank you so much for joining us. This was super awesome.
Real quick, where could people find more information about the UC organization?
You can go to supportingyouwithuc.com. Yeah, for patients or for family members, it's a great place that hosts a lot of resources because Googling any disease is a really scary and terrifying thing to do. So that's a super helpful place to go.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the website one more time?
Supportingyouwithuc.com.
Okay. Supportingyouwithuc.com. All right, cool.
Okay, perfect. Rosie White, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Cheers.
Shout out to Rosie White.
She's incredible.
So great. Really fun. Really funny. Yes. I'm glad we could talk about the Women's World Cup and also talk about some serious issues.
Yes,
okay?
Yes, yes. Look, ulcerative colitis is important. You shouldn't be embarrassed or afraid to talk about it. So, you know, she gave you all the information of what to do.
Exactly. So shout out to Rosie. Okay, and a reminder, look, this is the first episode of the Women's World Cup Daily. We'll be back on Saturday after the obviously the U.S. Women's National Team playing Friday, Saturday. From then on, daily episodes. Make sure you are locked in. You subscribe to the Women's the Cooligans Women's World Cup Daily podcast on wherever you get your podcast, YouTube, Spotify, Apple. Leave reviews. Do everything. Tell your friends. I mean, the Men's World Cup was exciting. We had a lot of new fans, a lot of new people interested in the sport. And if you like two stand-up comedians to deliver that fun information to you and get a different side of the sport that's a
you
little bit...
You found us.
Yes, yeah. It's not... It doesn't have to be all stuffy and weird or whatever. Yeah, it's
we have no charts here.
Exactly. No spreadsheets. We don't need them.
We don't need them.
But no, we always appreciate people tuning in, so make sure you subscribe to the podcast. We're also on DraftKings Network every day at 8:30 Eastern time.
P.M. 8:30 P.M. Eastern
PM,
time.
P.M.
Yes, reading right to
yes,
the games.
Not A.M. Yeah, right. No.
P.M.
8:30 p.m. Eastern time every single day. So you can watch there as well. Again, tell your friends. The World Cup are always exciting when new people, you know, get into the sport and stuff like that. So
and let us know what episode our voices go back to normal.
Okay. I promise we will, you know, I sound like a 13-year-old, I promise. Yes.
Right now, this is not like my real 13-year-old voice. Smokes.
But no, we appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back on Saturday. I'll hopefully celebrating a U.S. Women's National Team win. So let's go. Let's do this, everybody.
Love you guys.
Peace.
Are you ready for truly hydrated skin? Meet Hyaluronic Body Serum, a breakthrough in body care from Osea. It's clinically proven to instantly increase hydration by 161%. Their lightweight, fast-absorbing serum delivers 24 hours of nonstop hydration for silky, smooth skin without the sticky afterfeel. Osea's latest innovation combines the magic of their best-selling Hyaluronic C Serum with a new formula that's good for the whole body and five types of hyaluronic acid to target every layer of the skin. Osea is a woman-founded, women-led brand that's been crafting seaweed-powered products for nearly 30 years. The best part? Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.